We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we were shouting and singing Hosanna, and I realized that I wasn't sure what that word meant. I probably learned at one time, but it didn't come back to me this year, so I had to look it up. And maybe you have felt the same way. It's a word that kind of started in Hebrew and then it turned into a Greek word. So here are your choices. Do you think Hosanna means holy are you, or save us, or lead us? Holy are you, save us, or lead us? I won't ask. But if you chose the middle one, save us, you were right. Which is kind of strange, isn't it? Because when you think of Palm Sunday, you think of these crowds and they're all jubilant and they're so hopeful. Why would they be saying, save us? Now, the expression has gotten to mean a little, you know, more adoration, but they did mean save us. Because they thought, when Jesus came, that he was the one who would save them. Maybe from the occupation of the Romans, they weren't free in their own country with the Romans around. They wanted to be saved maybe from their poverty. They wanted to be saved maybe from their rigid social system that made it impossible for them really to improve their lot in life. So they were jubilant, but they were also saying to Jesus, save us. Well, we don't usually cry out for help, but there are things in our lives that trap us just as they felt trapped. Last Tuesday when our council met, it was early in the week and they had not yet found the man who was setting bombs in Austin, and we talked about how the people in Austin probably had a lot of fear. And then we talked about the fears that, you know, people in all parts of this country might have. We talked about the fear of violence or terrorism. We talked about the fear of lack of money for our children, for our retirement. We talked about the fear of health issues not ending well. And we talked about the fear of the future of our families, the future of our country, our world, our ecological future as a planet. And you know, fears tend to trap us. We may not be talking about our fears the way, and these people weren't exactly either, but they have a way of affecting us. They might keep us awake at night. They might contribute to kind of a low level of anxiety that we feel at times in our lives. Fears can keep us from trying new things. They can kind of paralyze us. And above all, fears make us focus on ourselves. So fears turn us inward. We get consumed by our own schedules, our own families, our own friends, and we don't look beyond. We don't see other people in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our world, so we don't care for them. It might even happen here in church that you only talk to the people you know, and there are people here who don't know people and would like to know people, but that's our tendency. And you know, when you think about it, it's where we're comfortable. It makes us comfortable to kind of hunker down and stay with those that we know. We want to be saved from our fears, but we don't want to be changed. And yet, if we are to be saved from our fears, if we are to go beyond ourselves, we need to change. Maybe some of you saw the movie Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. It was a violent movie, but I thought it had some very important messages. There were two characters that were violent. One was a woman, Mildred Hayes, played by Frances McDormand, and she was full of grief because her daughter had been killed. She was also full of guilt because she thought she might have been able to prevent it. So she lashed out at the chief of police because he hadn't found the perpetrator. And she bought these billboards, or paid to have them put up, that publicly shamed him for not doing his duty. And anybody that criticized those billboards, she would viciously respond. Then there was another character who was also prone to violence. He was a young police officer, and he lived in his own prison of shame, really. He was ashamed because he hadn't lived up to the expectations his father, who was now dead, had for him. He had failed to be a good police detective. And as a grown man, he was still living with his mother. He just felt he was a failure. And his shame sent him to alcohol, and that led to violence. There was a person in the story, however, who was able to look beyond himself. And it was interesting because he was a person dealing with cancer, and he was the chief of police, Willoughby, played by Woody Harrelson. And somehow he could look outside of himself, and he saw what was going on. And so he very gently came and talked to Mildred, and he reassured her, yes, it takes a long time to find a perpetrator. We really are working on it. I understand. And then he also helped this young police officer to believe in himself again. He wrote in a letter, he said, you have to stop hating. You have to start loving people. And then you will find that you have it in you to be the kind of police detective you want to be. Well, the young officer took the chief's words to heart. And he began to reach out, and he reached out to Mildred, actually, in her situation, to try to help her. And then she began to reach out to him. And we see that these two people were starting to emerge from their prisons of violence and anger and guilt and shame. And they were doing it because they were finally able to reach out beyond their own lives, to look beyond themselves. It would be easy to stay with the Palm Sunday crowd and say to Jesus, save us, you know, make it all his responsibility. But we won't be saved unless we can be changed, unless he can change us to reach out. And we can't rush from Palm Sunday to Easter, because then we won't appreciate the amazing gift that Jesus has to give us. So what we need to do is to leave Palm Sunday and follow Jesus to Good Friday, to the cross. Here at the cross, in that darkness, is where God meets us. God suffers with us when we suffer. God suffered for us. Here at the cross is where we see so clearly the terrible price Jesus had to pay for our selfishness. And then we see so clearly how passionately Jesus desires to break down our prison walls. And then when Easter Sunday dawns, and we know that Jesus has won, we know that he has had victory not only over death, but over evil, violence, terrorism, fear, guilt, and shame, then on Easter Sunday, when our fears dissolve like the shadows of the night, then we will be changed. Then we will be able to reach out to others. And then we will know what Jesus has been trying to teach us through his life and through his death, that when we care for one another as Jesus cares for us, then we also satisfy our deepest desires. Amen.